Our lesson today is taken out of the Gospel according to John, the 9th chapter. It is the recovery of sight given to this man born blind. We find the first verse, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. Jesus, in the chapter before this, was disputing with the Pharisees and with the Jews. And he had been teaching them that before Abraham was, he had been. And because he claimed himself to be God in person, they took up stones and they wanted to stone him. But he went through the midst of them and hid himself and so passed by. And as he passed by, this man was sitting by the side of the temple begging. This man was born blind. Very few people are born blind. Most of the people that are blind receive it through an accident or through sickness. But this man was this way from his birth. He had never seen the light of day. Who passed by him? The light of this world. This man was then in darkness from the day that he came into this world. What a blessing if we have our sight. If you have a child and it has just been born and it has all its faculties, how thankful you should be. Here were parents that received the child, and when they saw that it could not see, you may imagine what went on in their minds. What trouble they took to try to have this rectified. They also went probably to find out whether any who were born blind were ever cured. And they found to their dismay that there never was such a case heard of. And because this man was unfit to work, we find him making his livelihood by begging. This was no crime. This was no sin. The people who came to the temple knew this man. They saw him sitting there continually. He was no stranger to them. But now Jesus, he passed by and saw this man. This man could not see Jesus. He knew not who passed by. But Jesus saw him with a look of pity, of compassion, of affection and of love. Why? Because this man was a chosen vessel of mercy. He was an object in which Christ was to be glorified and over which he would show his power and his grace and his love. He looked in at this man. Oh, how I wish he would come in our midst, my hearers, and look at such amongst us. If there be any of these chosen vessels who, like this man, have been born blind spiritually, who have never seen anything of themselves or of the beauty of the excellency of Jesus Christ. Oh, I would pray, Jesus, come in our midst and pass by and look upon such a one this afternoon. And we find that the disciples, they spake unto Christ and said unto him, Master, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? These disciples, they are like you and I. You know, we creatures we make an improper judgment many times concerning each other. It may be that someone amongst us that we know is afflicted by the hand of God with a terrible disease. It may be that someone is in a terrible accident and they are hurt very severely. And we make that judgment that it must be because he has done this or she has done that. And that is why God visits these creatures. That's why that they have these terrible calamities. You ever say that? The disciples said it here concerning this man. There must have been some reason. There must have been some principal sin that this man or his parents were guilty of. Therefore, he was visited with blindness. My hearers, we make a wrong judgment many times in particular cases like this. We look at other people's sins and not our own. If we look home to our own, we will have enough without trying to place the finger on someone else for this or for that. I find Jesus speaking in Luke 13 concerning the Jews that came to him and spoke to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. They thought that these Galileans must have been terrible sinners, and therefore Pilate treated these Galileans in this way. But Jesus said, "Think ye that these Galileans were sinners above all those that were in Galilee? I say unto you, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish." He says again, of the 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell, "Think ye that they were greater sinners than those in Jerusalem? Again I say unto you, that except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish." Oh, my hearers, let us look home to our own clay hut before we put the finger on someone else. It is true, many times people who are committing sins against God and against the state are caught in the very act of sin and they lose their very lives. They die in their sins. And that justly. But let us be very careful concerning each other. Jesus spake unto the disciples and said, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God may be manifested in him." Jesus then puts it out of doubt concerning the sin that they thought these people were guilty of. He did not mean that they were without sin. Neither hath this man or these parents sinned, but that they were not guilty of any particular sin, and that it was not for that reason that this man was blind, but it was for that reason that God would be glorified in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, for the night cometh, in which no man can work, I am the light of this world. In these words, Jesus describes his mission into this world. This was the principal thing that he came for into this world, to give sight to the blind, bodily and spiritually. Therefore, he came specially past this man, for that reason. There probably were others in the city who were also blind, but Jesus only went by this one man. Mark too that this man He never sent up a prayer. He never cried to Jesus to be healed. We do not read thereof. He was sitting there. And Jesus had mercy, had compassion upon him. Oh, how sovereign is this God whom we worship, whom we adore. Oh, it is to this day yet that he in his sovereignty passes by and takes hold sometimes of the greatest of sinners amongst us and reveals his love, his affection towards such a one. It puts upon our lips that we are mute and can say nothing. And now, my hearers, as Jesus finished speaking to these disciples, he bent down and he spat on the ground and he made spittle of the dirt and made clay thereof and brought it up and tenderly put it upon the eyes of this blind man, just like a physician would do. He anointed his eyes and he said unto him, "Go to the pool Siloam and wash." He then commanded this man to go to a certain pool. This pool was at the foot of Mount Zion. There were two pools called Siloam, the upper and the lower pool. The upper pool was sometimes called the King's Pool, for his gardens were watered from that. And the lower pool emptied into the brook Kidron. To this place, this blind man was directed to go with the clay upon his eyes. He probably couldn't go himself. He had to be led. Someone had to lead him to this pool. And probably many went with him to see whether he would be cured or not. And when he came to the pool, he washed his eyes with the water from the pool, and immediately he was given to see. Something happened to this man that no oculist ever could do. The cataracts, the scales that were in front of his eyes fell away, and he was given to see clearly, plainly, and distinctly. Oh, what a wonder this must have been to this man. Just picture it. Never did he see anything. He never saw the light of the day. He never saw any colors. He never saw the sun. He never saw anyone. How strange it must have been to this man when his eyes were opened and he was given to see. And now when he came back from this pool, the neighbors who knew him and had seen him so many times sitting by the temple begging, they began to speak. It caused quite a stir. They said, "Is not this he that sat by the temple and begged?" Others said, "It looks like him." Others said, "It is him." But he says, "I am he." He put the thing out of question. He was the person that was that blind man that had sat there and begged, and he was made whole. He could now see. This was a wonder to these neighbors. They must have talked with each other. How is it possible that a man born blind could be made whole and could be made that he could see again? And they took this man to the temple, to the Pharisees, to the rulers there, to show the wonder that had taken place with this man. These neighbors had asked him, "Who has made thee see again?" And he said, "A man by the name of Jesus." He took clay, anointed my eyes, told me to go and wash in the pool Siloam, and I went and I came seeing. Or he speak about Jesus being a man. He did not say the Lord, he did not say God, but he only knew him from what others had called him. He probably had heard them say that it was Jesus that had anointed his eyes. And he, in obedience to him, had went and done what he had commanded. There was the obedience of faith. He believed what Jesus said would surely take place. For if he had not, he sure would have never went on such a fool's errand. But he went, and he came seeing. And these people, the neighbors, they were so elated with this. And they believed probably that Jesus was the Messiah. Therefore, they took him to the temple. And they wanted these Pharisees to see what a wonder had taken place with this man. And these Pharisees, they asked him likewise, "Who made thee to see?" And he said, "A man Jesus put clay on my eyes, anointed them, told me to wash, and I see." They said to him, "Where is he?" "I do not know," he says. These Pharisees, these rulers, these teachers and doctors of the law, they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They couldn't accept his teachings and his doctrine. Anyone that went forth to preach or to teach had to come to these Pharisees. They had to receive a license, or otherwise they were not approved by the Jewish people. Jesus, he had never went to these Pharisees. He had went forth and preached, and he had done many miracles amongst them. But because he had not come to them, had not recognized them, therefore they did not receive him. They thought that he was an impostor, and they could not believe that he was the Messiah. And when this man explained to them what Jesus had done, they could not accept his testimony either. So they sent for the parents of this blind man to question them whether this was their son or not. They wanted to make sure that it wasn't a fake. They wanted proof. And then the parents came of this man that was born blind. And they questioned them and said unto them, "Is this your son who ye say was born blind? How doth he now see?" These parents, they had heard that these Jews, the Pharisees, had made a law that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, they would be cast out of the temple. And now these parents, they were very careful in how that they answered these Pharisees. To be excommunicated from the church amongst the Jews was a terrible thing. For a trifle, it was only for 30 days. But if it was for a prominent sin, then they were cut off totally from the church. And not only from the church, but all the Jews who were in business and upon whom they depended for livelihood, they were to cut them off likewise. And therefore these parents were very careful how that they called and spake to these Pharisees. And now these parents said, "This is our son. And that he was born blind, we can testify But how that he doth see, we know not. Ask him yourself. He has his age. He can speak for himself. So that was the answer that these parents gave. I'm sure that these parents, they must have been elated and pleased and thankful that their son had been cured of his blindness. But to come out for him who had done that, to own him in the front of these Pharisees and Jews, they dared not. Therefore they spake in this manner. And now they turn to this man again. And they say unto him, how did he open thine eyes? And this man, he spake and said, I have told you already. Will ye hear it again? Will ye be his disciples? You see this man, how bold he is, how fearless he is, how he comes out for him who cured him, who healed him. He couldn't speak against him, or he couldn't hear any evil against that person who had opened his eyes. And therefore he spake as he did. But these Pharisees, they spake back unto him and said, this man can't be of God, for he done this on the Sabbath day. This man is a sinner. Christ had been accused before of doing things on the Sabbath day, contrary to their laws and ordinances. These people, the Pharisees, they were very strict. They lived a very close, strict, and moral life. They were held up by other creatures to look at. If there was anyone that was going to heaven, it was these Pharisees. And these creatures, these Pharisees, they were the ones that taught the people and instructed the people. And now they're speaking to this man that was born blind, who probably never had an education. But take notice that when God is with us, then regardless of how many educated people we may have round about us, that God will inspire us and put their mouths to silence. For he spake unto them and said, will ye also be his disciple? And they said, we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake to Moses, but this man, or this fellow, they said, we know not from whence he is. They then accused him of being a disciple of Christ. Truly he was, without his own knowledge, a disciple of Jesus. He was testifying for him here in the temple. But they were Moses' disciples. They were the ones that studied the law and taught the law to the people, and they added so many things to the law that it was a great burden to bear with it. And they believed that God spake to Moses 2,000 years ago. But if they had looked into the matter and had made diligent search concerning Christ, then surely they would have seen that Moses had written about him. They would have seen that where Moses had done many miracles, Christ likewise performed many miracles. The works of Jesus Christ, the miracles he did, were never done before. Even this miracle. You do not read in the Word of God that any prophet ever opened the eyes of a man born blind. Jesus performed this great miracle upon this man. And this man, he testifies for him that he is a prophet. And now these Pharisees, arguing with this man concerning his mission, whether he came from heaven or not. We know that God spake to Moses, but this man, for this fellow, we know not from whence he cometh. Oh, as I said, if they had went and searched diligently into the register where he was born, and they had followed him through his life, they surely would have been convinced that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ. But they were blinded in their ignorance and in their enmity. They would not receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And therefore, this man, born blind, he spake unto them. When they disputed with him, and he began to exalt Jesus Christ, he said, "Here is a marvelous thing." He was filled with wonder and amazement at the miracle that had been performed upon him. And he couldn't understand why that they could not receive that, could not believe that. He was standing right before them. And they could not contend against it. They could not say that it had not been done, because it had been. "Here then is a marvelous thing. Never was it heard," he says, "in this world, that a man born blind received his sight. If this man was not of God, he could do nothing." So he testified of Jesus Christ in the midst of these Jews and Pharisees and enemies of him. Oh, he glorified him. He thought, "How is it possible that yous, the rulers, the teachers, do not know from whence that this man came? He must be an awful, marvelous creature to open anyone's eyes. And you know nothing about him. You don't know where he came from. It never was heard of in this world what has happened to me. Surely he comes from God, or he never could have done these things." For they said that he was a sinner, and that God spake by Moses. They call Christ a sinner, but this man says, "Whether he be a sinner or no, one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see." He was so firmly convinced that that miracle that had been done to him was clear enough and proof enough that this person who had done it had come from God. And he wanted these people to believe it too. But they rejected him. They spake against him. And they said unto him that Christ was a sinner. He said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not." He could not testify that Christ was a sinner. He had never seen him. He had never met him. He knew nothing about him, but he would testify of the wonder that had been done to him, that his eyes had been opened, and that he saw. This they could not deny. And now he begins to speak to these Jews again, and says unto them that this was such a marvelous thing, and that they could not believe it. Therefore, they became so angry that they could not stand before this poor blind man. All the wisdom and understanding that they had, they could not meet these words that he spake. And they became so angry, they said unto him, "What, dost thou teach us? We, who are the teachers, who are the rulers, who instruct the people, dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. Some think that he was just pushed out of the room in which this council was held, and that they commanded their servant to kick him out. Others think that he was cast out of the Jewish church, that he was excommunicated, and that they would not have anything to do with him. He was cast out then by these enemies of Christ. Oh, my hearers, whenever we may be in a predicament like this man was, you may be sure that Christ will be at your right hand, so that he will fill your mouth with arguments, and they will not be able to gainsay whatever you say, for it will not be you that speak, but he will speak in you. So it was with this man. He was then cast out for the truth's sake, for the testimony that he gave of this person who had healed him and cured him. All my hearers, it's an awful thing to be excommunicated from a church where the truth is in, the pure church. Where you are excommunicated from the pure church and the pure doctrine, there is a connection with this church and the church in heaven. They are one. And if you are excommunicated, then you are excommunicated out of heaven likewise. But to be excommunicated like this man was, and that for the truth's sake, there is no harm in that. In fact, if we are in a church where the truth is not, we should go out of it. For that is the false church. Christ commands us to leave such an institution. And my hearers, this man being kicked out, he was the object of the pity and of the mercy and of the compassion of Christ. For we read, when Christ found him, it appears by this that Christ went to seek him. It was probably spread throughout the whole town what these Pharisees and these Jews had done unto this man. They had probably cried shame on those people for treating this man in this way. And Jesus had heard that they had cast him out, and he went to him and he found him. And when he found him, he came to him with the question, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Jesus himself had called himself the Son of God. And many had called him the Son of David, for that reason that they thought that he was going to build an earthly kingdom and be the head of it. But others called him the Son of Man or the Son of God. And he here himself calls himself that to this blind man and says unto him, "Dost thou believe in the Son of God?" In other words, dost thou believe in the prophecies of the Messiah? Dost thou believe that if he should manifest himself unto thee, that thou would receive him, that thou would embrace him? Dost thou believe in the Son of God? And what did this blind man say? Maybe you say it. Maybe there's many in my midst that say the same thing. "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" That was the answer of this blind man. Notice how well he had spoken of him, how he had testified of him, how he had glorified him for the miracle that had been done on him. And still, "Who is he that I may believe in him?" Have you experienced something like that, my hearers? Have you experienced a miracle of grace? Have your eyes ever been opened? Has Jesus passed by you and given you to see yourself? Oh, I am sure there are some in my midst that are just like this blind man. They have witnessed, they have testified about him. But if asked, "Dost thou believe in the Son of God?" they cannot give you an answer. They would say with this blind man, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him. Oh, this man was a subject for comfort and for consolation. For when he said this, then Jesus spake unto him, and said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that speaketh unto thee. And then he manifested himself unto this blind man. Oh, what a wonderful manifestation, my heavens, did this blind man receive. Oh, when Jesus said, Thou hast both seen him, he had seen him as he had never seen anything before. He could be so thankful that the Lord had opened his natural eyes. For he's seen something now with his natural eyes that struck home in his very heart. Oh, he's seen before him the Messiah, his Lord, his Savior, his Redeemer. Oh, what a wonderful sight that must have been. Thou hast both seen him. The scales fell from his eyes right there to see the beauty of the excellency of this precious Jesus. Have you ever seen him? Has God ever given you faith to see the beauty of this precious Christ? Have you ever seen anything of him, my hearers? You know, he is sometimes so close by. Here he was talking to this man and questioning this man, and he never knew him. He put the question to him, who is he, that I may believe in him? All my hearers, you read of the two men that were going down to Emmaus, the two disciples. They were talking together, and Jesus came and walked alongside of them. And as he was walking with them, their hearts began to burn within them. But did they know him? They didn't know him. Neither did this blind man know him. Are you like that? Has he ever walked alongside of you? Has he ever talked with you? Has he ever given you any encouragement under the means of grace? Then you have heard him. He has been talking to you. But what you long for is what this man had, a manifestation of him to your soul. You still say, who is he that I may believe in him? And now when the Lord manifested himself unto this man, then we find that he spake and said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Oh, what wonderful words were these. I believe, Lord, that you are the Messiah, that you are the Son of God, that you are the Savior that came into this world. Yes, that you are my Savior, that you have opened my eyes, that you have given me to behold thee. Oh, what a wonderful thing this was for this man to say, I believe, Lord. Wouldn't you wish you could say it? Wouldn't you wish you had such eyes to see like this man seen? Oh, my hearers, we all got eyes, but have we spiritual eyes to see something of this Savior? Oh, a sight of him, my hearers, closes our eyes for all other things in this world. It's him then we need. He's the object of our affections, and we never can rest until we may know that he is ours. My time is gone, my hearers. This was quite a lengthy chapter. I spake out of it roughly and very incorrectly, but what I have said, may God have blessed it to you, immortal souls. That's all for today.